We'll do communion after the message, but we want to talk today a little bit about what we just did, Thanksgiving. Thursday, Thanksgiving. Who had enough turkey and pie and mashed potatoes and yams and all the good stuff that comes on Thanksgiving? You know, we ought to be able to do that more often, you know, other than just once a year on a day of praise and thanksgiving. But I hope everyone had a great meal and a good time. You know, we all know the story of Thanksgiving and how in 1623, the pilgrims held a celebration in thanks for the abundant harvest and the peace with the Native Americans that surrounded their settlement. Governor Bradford made this proclamation to all the pilgrims: "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn and wheat and peas and squashes and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as He has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all you pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th, in the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all His blessings." Obviously, in 1623, there was no separation of church and state. Now, we recognize that this event was the first Thanksgiving. But there was an earlier time of Thanksgiving in this new land. And that occurred in Jamestown in 1610. There, the winter of 1610 had played havoc with that little settlement. Of the 409 settlers that had come there, there were 60 left, the rest taken by sickness and lack of food in the severe winter. These survivors prayed for help, not knowing when or even if it might come. But help did come in the form of a ship from England, loaded with food and supplies. The settlers immediately called a prayer meeting and gave thanks to God for their deliverance. You might think that after such hardship and the loss of so many of their friends and loved ones, that they wouldn't have much to be thankful for. However, the opposite was true. They realized that they had so much to be thankful for. The pilgrims celebrated and thanked God because things were so good. And the Jamestown settlers celebrated and thanked God, even though things were so bad. The New World was a dangerous place. Some of the early settlements actually disappeared, and no one has any idea whatever happened to them. But those who came to this dangerous and unknown place thanked God for His blessing. Whatever that blessing, whether that blessing be abundance or rescue. We ourselves don't often realize how blessed we are or how thankful we ought to be until what we have is threatened or taken away. It's good and fitting that as Christians we celebrate Thanksgiving, for God has certainly been good to every single one of us. Someone once said that gratitude is the source for all other Christian virtues. And if that be the case, then perhaps we need to reason that ingratitude may be the source of all, or at least many, of our faults as well. When we begin to take for granted what God has done for us, then we become calloused and filled with pride. And then God can no longer use us. For a Christian, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, Paul tells us Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul's main subject here is praise and thanksgiving. You know, there are other important words in that passage as well. Always, continually, in all circumstances. It sounds like Paul is talking about a church service here, particularly in Ephesians, when he speaks of speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart, but he isn't. He's talking about a continual attitude for Christians. An attitude of the heart. How we are to interact with one another. But how, you may wonder, can we have this attitude continually? Especially in all circumstances. I believe the answer lies in our perspective of giving thanks. We need to have the proper perspective. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 17 about Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And they went. And as they went, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here there were 10 lepers who met Jesus and had a life-changing encounter with the Lord. When you break this story down to its simplest elements, that basically describes every Christian. We were all outcasts from the kingdom of God, on our way to certain death. And then we had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. While we should never dwell on our lives of sin, we should never forget where the Lord has brought us from. In other words, remember what God has done for you. Visit again in your mind the place where you first met God and His mercy and grace. What is so significant about these lepers who were healed is that out of the 10, only one returned to say thanks. There were 9 who did not take the time to say thank you or even acknowledge what Christ had done for them. Now, if we were to relate this story to ourselves, would we be the one that returned? Or the 9 who just took the gift of healing and went on their own way? We need to work on our attitude in order to properly thank God for all the gifts He bestows on us. Our salvation, our relationship with Him, our adoption into His family, His constant presence in our lives, and if we listen, His guidance and direction to help us in every situation. We need to put aside our pride, our self-centeredness, and understand just how much God has done for us. We need an attitude of gratitude. The Israelites in the wilderness with Moses had no food. They were in the desert. Nothing grew there. They complained that God had brought them out of Egypt just to die in the desert. So God miraculously sent manna to cover the ground each day, except for Sabbath. They had more than enough food to live and even to thrive. But did they thank God? After a time, they began to complain. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. They had a miracle. Straight from God every day. And they weren't satisfied. They took God for granted. They failed to see the miracle and thought only of themselves. Kind of like our 9 lepers. Thanksgiving needs to be a part of our lives. We need to express our thanks to God regularly and honestly. One of the choruses we sing is found in Psalms 100 where it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart." And in Psalms 107, another one, David said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." We should express our thanks to God for all that He has done for us. Our 9 lepers forgot about this. When the one man returned to give Jesus his thanks, Jesus told him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And I don't think that Jesus was talking just about his physical healing. He was talking about a spiritual one, a mental one. This thankful man was not just healed. He was made whole. We too are made whole by our thanksgiving. Even the secular field of psychology recognizes that gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Seeley, who is considered the father of stress studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. A thankful heart will endear us to others and others to us. It is not only good for the receiver, it is even better for the giver. God appreciates our thanksgiving. It lifts Him up and it glorifies Him. And thanksgiving endears Him to us. It draws us closer. If we're not grateful, if we do not express our thanksgiving, then it can have a negative effect. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile. And their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul seems to be saying that people need to recognize God and His sovereignty over their lives. It's not enough to know that God exists. We must surrender sovereignty over our lives to Him. It's not attending church that makes us Christians. It's believing and committing to the Son of God. God doesn't have to earn our love by giving us everything we want. Like the crowds that followed Jesus around the Sea of Galilee after He fed the 5,000, we often condition our love and submission on God's giving to us. In John 6, we learn that this was true even when Christ walked the earth. And the crowd asked Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." So they asked Him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The truth was not what these people wanted to hear. Instead of praising God and giving thanks for Jesus and the salvation He brought, they began to grumble and question. They wanted miracles and food. They didn't want faith and belief. But the gift that Jesus brought to them was greater than any miracle. The gift of life is a miracle unto itself. We have that gift. We understand that it's a miracle that God would love us so much that He would send His Son to bring us eternal life. We know that God has a place for us in heaven as a son or a daughter. Isn't that enough? Do we demand miracles and signs and wonders before we'll commit our lives? Before we will offer our thanksgiving? Does God have to buy our love by giving us every whim or desire? I tell you the truth. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Thanksgiving. Why should we give thanks? Because God loves each and every one of us individually. He knows every one of us individually. And He loves us anyway. We need to make an effort today to recognize the blessings we have received and have come to take for granted. Focus on what you have rather than on what you don't have. And see if it doesn't improve your ability to give thanks to God. When you don't have everything you want, give thanks. If you did, what would you be able to look forward to? When you're facing difficult times, give thanks. Because it's only through adversity that we gain strength. When you make mistakes, give thanks. Mistakes are an opportunity to learn and to grow. And when you're tired and weary, give thanks. Because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful in good times and with plenty. But a life of true fulfillment can come to those who are also thankful for their setbacks. As difficult as that may seem, your troubles can become your blessings. As we look around us in the land of plenty that we live in, it's my prayer that we will see through new eyes each day the way that God has blessed us. And never take God or those blessings for granted. As we move on from the holiday of Thanksgiving, may we see God for who He really is and see ourselves for who we really are. People who have been blessed beyond measure, and people who need to give thanks to the giver of all good gifts. We have been given the bread of life. We know this bread and have had our only lasting hunger, that hunger that never ceases without Jesus satisfied. May we now be truly thankful to the God who deserves our thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,